Mr. Bartlett, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on.
We're glad to have you, by golly, and here we are in a brand new year, cranking along. And it starts with in a big way with the nomination hearings today of Sam Alito. What will he say in his opening statement?
Well, I think he's going to articulate not only and explain his history and his biography and where he comes from, but also what shapes a long, stellar career of judicial restraint and a philosophy that says basically that judges have a role to play in society, and that is to interpret the laws and the Constitution as they are written, not as you'd wish them to be. And I think he'll make it very clear that he's going to be the type of Supreme Court justice that the American people could be proud of.
Am I right in that he has the most judicial experience of any nominee to the Supreme Court in 70 years? Did I hear that correctly?
You did, and I know it seems kind of hard to believe with Chief Justice John Roberts as well qualified as he was, but if you look at the length of experience serving on the court and in other capacities in and outside of government, he clearly has more experience than anything we have seen in the last 70 years.
That's a phenomenal statistic when you think about some of the stellar candidates that have gone up there in that time.
I mean, it really is remarkable.
And inevitably, I'm sure you're aware, there'll be comparisons to John Roberts in the performance in the hearings. And John Roberts, while not having as much time on the court as Sam Alito has had on the lower court, certainly was. I called him a rock star. I mean, he just was an amazing candidate, and I think a great example of how long and hard and intense the president takes his nomination selections.
And I think Chief Justice Roberts really has a gift of oratory, and he demonstrated that to the American people, and a lot of that came from a lot of the experiences he had arguing before the Supreme Court. Judge Alito comes from the other side of the bench. He has served, as you mentioned, in a role as a judge, but I think the American people will also see somebody who is thoughtful, well-qualified, and just has a vast wealth of experience and understanding of the Constitution in a way that I think may even have those Democrat colleagues there on the pedestal as we see them on TV may want to hesitate before they try to go too far into constitutional understanding and precedent, because this man knows what he's talking about.
But do you anticipate that he will be constantly compared to Judge Roberts as far as performance in the hearings? I've heard some suggest that Sam Alito has a very different style, and you're not going to quite see the performance from the standpoint of the back and forth with the senators from Alito that you did from Roberts. Is that a concern?
I don't think it is fair, because everybody is their own person, their own personalities. But I think he will do quite well. And what it comes down to is not how you say something, but what you do say. And I think he'll demonstrate why President Bush chose him for this job, because he is well qualified and the right person at the right time.
I heard Dianne Feinstein, Senator from California, say yesterday that she thought that it was unfortunate that these murder boards, as they're called, which is kind of a scary-sounding term, but it's like a dry run for the nominee, where he is working with folks in the administration to anticipate questions that will come before him in the Supreme Court hearings. They call them murder boards. I guess we'd have to ask a lawyer why they call them murder boards. Right? But I guess it's murder. It's tough duty. You're getting all these questions fired from you from different directions. But anyway, her take was it's unfortunate that a polish gets put on, as she called it, the candidates in these murder boards, because essentially the American people aren't well served in candid answers. They kind of get the polished answers. What would you say to that charge by Dianne Feinstein?
Well, she's wrong. What these sessions provide for is you're asking somebody who comes from the judicial world as a judge, who's oftentimes given ample time to think through and study and research and write opinion and answers, and you're thrusting them onto a national stage in front of the entire country, in which you were put on under the interrogation of a very gifted and long experienced politician. You're taking somebody and putting them in a completely different light and experience, and I think it's only practical to think that somebody would want to have a rehearsal of the whole aspect of how it works, but the answers he gives will be genuine, the answers he gives will be accurate, and they'll be what is required for him to be confirmed.
Should my double standard antenna be up, do you think, Dan, given the fact that we have Well, for instance, there's a lot of folks that will vote on the nomination of Judge Alito, who had previously supported the Clinton nominees to the Supreme Court, who had rather extreme leftist views not shared by those senators on the Republican side that ultimately voted for, like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who thought Mother's and Father's Day were discriminatory events, or Stephen Breyer, who did not have any problem with Roe versus Wade, for instance.
Yeah, now, you're going to have a scorecard to keep up with all the different double standards employed by some Democrats, whether it be the one that you just described, or the fact that they would defend past Democrat candidates to the Supreme Court who would not give answers to specific questions because it wouldn't be appropriate because they then have to rule on it. They will now be demanding the very questions from Judge Alito. So, I must be honest, we shouldn't expect much as far as votes out of the Judiciary Committee that from the Democrats. They have demonstrated, and John Roberts and others, that they have a different agenda, not to have a fair and open mind about this. I wouldn't be surprised if every Democrat in the Judiciary Committee votes against this candidate. They have shown that pattern in past decisions, and I quite frankly think the more reasonable Democrats will be found on the Senate floor.
I want to ask you about a quote regarding the hearings that came from Chuck Schumer, who said if he, speaking of Alito, continuously, given his previous record, refused to answer questions and hid behind, I can't answer this because it might come before me, it would increase the chances of a filibuster. Your reaction to that, and do you anticipate the reemergence of the filibuster tool by the left?
There's no question for me that there are many senators on the Democratic side of the aisle that have a different agenda. I will point out that Senator Schumer is head of the campaign fundraising efforts for the Senate Democrat Caucus. They have some very specific political goals, and they'll use this to their advantage if they see. But the problem he has is that the whole prospect of having to do the constitutional option if they were decided to filibuster has kind of crumbled under their feet because the so-called Gang of 14 was broken up right after the president announced Judge Alito because of his qualifications. Make no mistake about it, they're going to try to cling to any type of excuse they can find to try to filibuster or defeat this candidate, but I think you'll see in the next several days why he deserves to serve on the bench and why he'll ultimately be passed.
Now, I also get the sense that the Democratic leadership is setting up for a delay in this thing and not heeding to the president's timeline on this. And Leahy's been talking about this already, saying, look, if he doesn't answer the questions and it gets out of control, some senator could move to hold this over. Do you anticipate that this is going to get done in the timeline the president's called for, a final vote by January 20th?
Well, Chairman Specter has been very strong on this point. Unless something unforeseen comes up, the things you just described are not unforeseen. What they are tactics that the Democrats are going to try to deploy, but the chairman has been pretty specific about this, and I think we'll find that we'll stick on schedule.
All right. I also want to ask you about an issue that inevitably is going to come up here, and it is related to the issue over the New York Times leak, which I am anxiously awaiting an investigation on, regarding a tool the president has in his purview in the executive branch of wiretapping terrorist telephone calls. And there seems to be a bit of posturing going on there where they want to really drill down and get a sense of where Sam Alito is today versus previous opinions he's written about executive branch authority, specifically related to wiretapping and national security. How much of a role do you see that playing in these Alito hearings, Dan?
Well, I think they'll ask the questions, and in many ways and contexts, it's very appropriate to ask a Supreme Court nominee what his views are on the separation of the powers. I think most of these that you're here raising this issue have political motives that go beyond Judge Alito. They're more trying to attack this president, and they believe that separation of powers, in their interpretation, means that congressional power ought to be more than the executive branch. But there are three branches of government. The Constitution provides the president broad discretion and inherent authorities during a time of war as commander-in-chief. We've exercised those carefully and aggressively and in a way that which will not only defend our country but uphold our civil liberties. But Judge Alito is very understanding of not only the law but the case laws and the Supreme Court rulings of prior courts on this issue, and he'll handle himself well.
You, by the way, the hearings have started already. The senators began with opening statements about 10 this morning, and they're going to have a little break this afternoon and crank up some more this afternoon. Have you heard anything in the opening statements or any of the comments thus far that is anything unexpected, Dan?
Well, I think no. And in fact, this first day turns out to be until later this afternoon, in which people for the first time will get to hear directly from Judge Alito. This is an opportunity for senators to do what they do best, and that is to express their own opinion.
Yeah, I hear you. The bottom line here is folks ought to remember that really when you hear a lot of the rhetoric coming from the left, it's a lot less about the qualifications of Sam Alito to be on the Supreme Court than it is about playing to their base, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And what you'll find here, as you pointed out earlier about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Republicans demonstrated what the test should be for a Supreme Court justice. Are they qualified? Do they have the temperament to serve on the highest court in the land? The fact that they might not share their ideological views is more of a product that they didn't control the White House. That's why we have a president who chooses. That president typically belongs to one party or the other. When they choose somebody that shares their philosophy, that goes with winning an election and having the support of the American people. And today we find ourselves in the exact same position. We have somebody who has the types of views that President Bush shares for our judiciary, that somebody who make laws from the bench or legislate laws from the bench but interprets the Constitution. And that's why they're glossing over the fact that this person is well qualified, and they're trying to raise objections based on ideological grounds that don't exist. So expect this to be a very difficult debate, and expect, like I said, I hate to say I don't believe any of the Democrats on this committee are going to vote for Judge Alito, and I think that has more about partisanship than it does about qualifications.
All right, Dan. Well, here's my advice to listeners. Every quote you read, whatever you read, see, or hear about these nominations, compare it to what People for the American Way are saying, NARAL, MoveOn.org. When it matches almost identically, you know what's going on. It's a political game playing to their base, and unfortunately there's going to be a lot of it coming from the left over the next couple of weeks here. But he's a good man, another solid nominee by the president. Our best to the president, first lady, Dan, and to you. We appreciate your time very much.
Thanks, Scott. Have a good one.